All right, we'll settle in here again, friends. And in your Bible, let me invite you to turn first of all to John 14. And we'll go to Matthew 11 in just a moment, but I want to start with John 14. In John 14, Philip is saying, hey, Jesus, we would just like to see the Father, and then we'll be happy. And the Lord Jesus responds and says, hey, doofus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hebrews 1, he's the exact representation, Christ is, of God. But I just want to draw your attention as we begin this second hour now to one sentence, one question in verse 9 of John 14 that I love. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me? Wow. Maybe one of the things we need to say to our counselees from time to time is, has Jesus been with you so long and you still don't know him? That's a frightening verse. 3 years, Philip walking around with the Lord Jesus, watching him raise the dead, watching him feed the 5,000, watching him heal people, listening to him preach. And Jesus looked him in the eye and said, you don't know me yet. Still fundamentally misguided. I wonder if we can live outwardly faithful, Naperville and Lafayette Christian lives, with stellar church attendance, smiles, and courteous emails, and the Lord Jesus might look us in the eye and say, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Dane? Actually, I would say that was probably, was true of me. Perhaps in many ways it still is. I mean, the problem with blind spots is you don't know they're there. That's why it's a blind spot. Maybe I'll look back in 10 years and we'll say, what were you doing? It's you have blind spots all over the place. But I can say, looking back 10 years, seminary trained, some books and articles written, I could pass a Nicene Orthodoxy test in my sleep about Christology, who Christ is, his person and work. But in terms of Jesus, my darts were all over the board except on the bullseye. It was a decaffeinated Christ. A junior varsity, actually a de-glorified Jesus. I was regenerate, but the penny hadn't dropped. It was a Jesus on my terms, a bigger, nicer, smileier version of me. Not a Jesus for whom my ongoing sins and sufferings draw him in all the more because he cannot bear to do otherwise. I hadn't learned that. And I'm a toddler in it now, but I'm starting to learn it, and maybe you are too. The whole purpose of this next hour together is, might it be, Ephesians 3:8, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the riches of who Jesus is that you cannot ever hit bottom on, unsearchable. Might it be that there are, I want to ask you to receive the following question with an open heart, all right? Might it be that there are whole regions to the real Christ yet to be discovered in your life. The unsearchable riches of Christ. When Columbus hit the Caribbean, he called it the Indies, thinking he was in Asia, not knowing there was a vast continent, undiscovered, still between him and the real Indies. Whole regions of land, vast tracts of land, yet to be charted and discovered. The world was a lot bigger than he realized. Is Jesus a lot bigger than we realize? Or have we reduced and domesticated? Come on, guys, let's be honest. We're doing it all the time. The real Christ. Here's one way to put it. The Jesus you're bored with. The Jesus you're grateful for and yawning at. The Jesus you're bored with is not the real Jesus. The Jesus your counselees are bored with is not the real Jesus. They're bored with a greatly reduced Christ. The real Christ is irresistible. You cannot resist him when you see him truly. If you're bored with Christ, I want to say this very respectfully. Okay. If you're bored with Christ, the problem is you, not him. The real one is unsearchable, riches of Christ, and irresistible. If you don't know, let me put it this way. Okay, I'm going to make an outlandish, outrageous statement here, okay? You are free to disagree in the next hour. Let me put in one sentence what I want to try to get across to you in this middle session here. If we do not know Jesus Christ as gentle and lowly, then we don't know him at all. That's the statement I want to ask you to consider, and that I do believe, as opposed to the alternate that we would probably be more comfortable with, namely, if you don't know Jesus as gentle and lowly, you're 90% of the way there and you just need to integrate one more thing in. I'm saying rather, I think this is pretty audacious, maybe, I don't know, you tell me what you think. If you don't know Jesus as gentle and lowly, then you don't know him at all. And I defend that statement because it's the one place where he says, this is my heart. My heart is gentle and lowly. If I knew that my wife, Stacy, is 5'4", an ESFP, a Wheaton grad, a math major, a mother of five, grew up in Connecticut, I knew her blood type, I knew her whole medical history, I knew what she likes to eat, but I didn't know her heart, then you could justly accuse me of not knowing my wife at all. Any more than I know Elon Musk based on his Wikipedia page. You can learn facts about someone without knowing their heart. If you do not know Jesus Christ as the most tender and non-manipulative, non-abrasive, non-sandpapery person in the universe, then you don't know him at all. If you don't know Jesus as the most accessible and approachable, yes, the Revelation 1 Christ that John fell down like dead because of the overwhelming glory, that Christ, if you don't know him as the most approachable person in the universe, you don't know him at all. You don't ever need to get a ticket and stand in line. You don't have to go through layers of security to get to him. You don't have to do what I tell my kids to do when it's time to go to the dentist. Go brush their teeth and scrub them real well so that it looks cleaner than